Thanksgiving because we won't be here as well. We'll be stuffed and planning for that. And it's time to talk with John Tillis. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, we are doing just fine, JT. Thank you very much for going a little early with us here this week. We appreciate it. JT, man, look, the Browns, things, you know, they get the win on Sunday, but it doesn't really feel like that with the way this week has been going with everybody talking about the team the way they are right now. So I want to start with number six, Baker Mayfield, quarterback one. You know, in your opinion, JT, should he have even been in Sunday's game against the Lions? How do you evaluate where he's been at right now?
You know, I've had mixed feelings on this, and I think if Baker was QB number one, which we all believe him to be with the organization, and if long-term thinking is in place and you think this guy is your guy for years and years to come, it would have behooved them, in my estimation, to give him a few weeks off and to sit him, and actually those weeks off probably could have started maybe you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, so he really can get close to 100% and be more effective because, you know, he was inhibited physically on Sunday. It looked that way. And with him, even in when they had a couple of plays where he rolled out, you know, I just don't think he was at 100% to be able to lead the football team. It made more sense to start Case Keenum. And I'm kind of perplexed as to why they did. They felt Baker was good enough to go, but it just didn't seem like he played well enough to stay in the game. He had a couple of bad throws, paid for those, and I just think they should have sat him, guys.
Well, in the offense as a whole, JT, has been sputtering. And in your opinion, is that really, you know, solely on Baker Mayfield's struggles? Is there an aspect of Kevin Stefanski needing to put guys in a better position to succeed overall offensively? How do you look at that?
Well, I think a lot of ways that it is inhibiting these guys is if they're playing close with another team, if they're not ahead, many times, you know that they've got to throw the football. And there were cases where I think on Sunday they would have been much better off running Nick Chubb. I know he is coming back from COVID, but he certainly didn't look like he was affected by it. Run him more and not throw the ball. I think they had a third and one at one occasion in that game, and they chose to try to take a shot down the field. I felt some of that stuff was kind of unnecessary. You've got a horse. You've got a phenomenal football player in Nick Chubb, and maybe less drama had they just stuck with that. And I think also Baker being inhibited somewhat physically has challenged Stefanski on what to call. I mean, you saw they try to get creative with the play with Jarvis, and Jarvis kind of blew up the original play, if you will, but it was great result. you know, they're just trying to do different things. And the quarterback isn't 100%. I think that really affects what they're doing on the offensive side of the football.
How much does a potential return of both Jack Conklin and Kareem Hunt help that?
Wow. I mean, Kareem Hunt, in my estimation, is just one of those indispensable types of football players. I think they've really been affected not having him in week in and week out. We know how valuable Nick is, and I don't think people appreciate, because Kareem's not the starter, how valuable he is to the team. And same thing for Jack Conklin. I mean, this guy was not just a Pro Bowl caliber player a year ago. He was All-Pro caliber, and I think they missed that. So the deal is this week, since we're talking to you live here on a Wednesday morning, we'll check it out later on this afternoon in Berea. But both of those guys have been cleared to start practice. We'll see how the week goes. It would be a great boost to have at least one of those guys, and I prefer it to be Kareem, so you can have that two-headed monster at running back heading to Baltimore Sunday night against the Ravens.
John Tillis, our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, you sent me some numbers here before we started talking. The defensive pressure from the Browns defensive line, it was good earlier this year, and it's sort of slowed up a bit in recent weeks. A growing concern there.
Yeah, I think there is. I think it's also dependent on the quarterbacks, and I think it's also dependent on how much they had them drop back to throw and what their progressions were. But like you're looking in the last four games, Jadeveon Clowney just really has not been getting much pressure on the quarterback. I think three pressures in the last four games. He's had 22 QB hits this year. He's only had two in the last four games, and I want to thank the folks at The Athletic who provided that information. It's just not enough. And now you've got Tack McKinley, who's been banged up, potentially missing yet another game. The Maliks in the middle have been, you know, doing their job and trying to solidify the Browns against the run, but you're not getting enough pressure on the quarterbacks. And I think it's shown up in some of these games where the QBs have had the opportunity to make some plays down the field.
So now it's Ravens bye week Ravens, just as every Cleveland fan wanted when the schedule came out, right? So, I mean, what's the game plan? What's the game plan here, JT? How do you approach this sort of strange schedule scenario where you're playing a team in not back-to-back weeks, but in back-to-back matchups?
Well, I think the biggest question is, and we understand, you know, Lamar Jackson's been sick, but we assume that he's going to play. The biggest question is, Rocco, can the Browns handle him in two successive games? And I think it's paramount for them to be able to have an answer for him. Now, if you go back to last season, the last time they played, that was that crazy night game at First Energy. And they not only they couldn't hold him down, they couldn't even hold him down when he left the game and came back in the game and made a decisive play. He's just a real special talent. So do a better job on third downs. And I think they did a nice job against the Lions. But again, we're talking about the Lions. They were 3 of 11, the defense was, on third down. So you got to do better that type of performance on third downs against Lamar and the Ravens. It all hinges on how they handle Lamar Jackson. What we're going to see out of Baker, I don't know. I just have no idea. He's got the heel. He's got the knee. He has the labrum. There's just so many issues with him. It'll be really interesting to see what they can do. But the Browns, if they win the turnover battle, I think they got a good shot at winning up there in Baltimore, or over there in Baltimore.
So the Browns at Baltimore this week, this Sunday night, I should say. Then they hit the bye week, and then Baltimore comes to Cleveland on December 12th for a 1 o'clock matchup. So we'll talk about that second matchup some more down the line there, JT. Looking forward to this Sunday's contest against the Ravens. Hey, quickly here, because I know you got some holiday gift collection stuff going on that you want to talk about. We do still have some high school football left going on in the area. Yep. Of course, the big one around our parts of the woods would be the Avon and Hoban game, yep, as those two meet up once again. But boy, oh boy, just another fantastic slate of state semifinal matchups this Friday night.
There really is. You know, Ed's Upper Arlington playing down in Mansfield, Chardon against West Holmes. You have Kirtland playing, of course, on Saturday. Avon Hoban, that's going to be a great game. I mean, Hoban, I don't think is the Hoban that we've known from past years, but they are still incredibly potent. And there's just no way of knowing, you know, what kind of game this will end up being. But I know that Avon has always been a great program. It's been so well coached for many years. Quality kids. I want this game to go right down to the wire. And for the sake of the kids at Avon who want that taste to play in a state championship game, this would be an awesome opportunity, and it is, for them to have a great Friday night at Byers Field in Parma. And so it's all there for them. They play the game of their lives. I think they can have an opportunity and could get past Hoban, but it's going to be one heck of a game. This has been a fantastic high school football year. I have loved a lot of the different matchups that we've seen week in and week out. And last week, you know, it was tough to see it on the Medina front how difficult things went for Drew Aller. But I really tip my hat to what Coach Lombardo and the Eds kids, especially at defensive secondary, was able to do to kind of stymie that air attack of the Bees. So we'll see what Eds can. I think Eds is going to beat Upper Arlington. I see Eds going to the state championship game. And same thing for Chardon, can be a winner against West Holmes. So it's shaping up to be a great semifinal weekend of high school football here in Northeast Ohio. shout out to my alma mater. They actually are hosting two separate state semifinal games at Euclid Community Stadium, the Mini Shoe. Excited to see those games being played there as well.
Boy, it doesn't really get any better than this this time of the year in Ohio high school football, that is for sure. So, hey, JT, we appreciate your time. Before I let you go, I know you got some holiday gift collection stuff going on today that you wanted to talk about.
Yes, real quickly, we're having the holiday, our giving tree, where we collect as many toys as we can right here in the front of the station at 55th and the Shoreway right there on the lakefront. If you can stop by, bring any kind of a toy for kids. We've got tons of categories that we place them in. We take them right from your car, nice and safe as far as that is concerned. And it's all for kids that are in our county programs who really don't have an opportunity on many occasions to be thought of or to be thought about or to have someone show some love towards them. So Greater Cleveland, Northeast Ohio has always been extremely giving. So if you can find it in your heart to swing by today to our station at 5800 Dick Goddard Way here in Cleveland, that would be fantastic. And thanks for letting me say a few words about that too, Rocco.
Well, absolutely, JT. And you folks better not let John down. Get out there and get your butts over there. How about
it? Well, I want to know if John is going to participate in any of our practice or hang out with the turkey bowlers that are going on with these self-made. They made a turkey lane, bowling lane at the station. John, that's the craziest thing I've seen in recent times.
Hey, Bruce, it's awesome. It is so amazing. I've actually been out in front of the station for the last couple of hours here as the giving thing's been going on, but I saw them construct that. Excuse me. I saw how meticulous Hector was. He's our main man at the station that handles everything within the building. How he put that thing together, it is so fantastic that they got to disassemble it because it's our garage. But I'd like that thing to be open year round so we could bowl with frozen turkeys from here to the rest of the year. But leave it to our gang at Fox 8 to come up with a way around this situation where it might have been a little bit more difficult to do it at the grocery store, per se, in this day and age. So we just constructed our own lanes right here, our lane, rather, right here with the freezer, with the turkeys inside, keeping them nice and frozen. Everything's ready to roll, baby. That's what they're doing.
That's great. We're looking forward to that. Always a fun part of the Thanksgiving Day for people to tune into Fox 8 and watch that turkey bowl going on, but glad it's going on this year. Rocco?
JT, that's all I got for you, man. Thank you very much, and have a great holiday weekend with you and yours.
Same to you guys. Everybody have a wonderful holiday, and there's tons to be thankful for, so let's move forward with an attitude of gratitude. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, great. It's time for That's the Budweiser's From the Sideline with John Tellage, presented by your Northridgeville Convenience Sunoco.